Welcome to Fandom United, a pop culture podcast made by four very opinionated geeks who live in a toy store. This is episode 10, where we talk about Stranger Things and the amazing Spider-Man Far From Home.
I'm Rich.
I'm Aaron.
And I'm Othello. And, of course, Jelly's still on maternity leave, but together we are Fandom United. And I can't even say it.
It's been too long.
Said it, yeah. We've been on a little break. I can say united. It's not that big of a word. So anyway, we've been on a break for a couple weeks and came back. And, of course, July 4th weekend, Stranger Things 3 came out. But before we talk about that, I want to say a quick RIP for Rip Torn. He just passed away at 88.
So that's a nice long life, though.
Yeah, I'm such a jerk. The first thing I thought was Zed's dead. And so...
My never first... Movie? Dodgeball.
Beastmaster.
Yeah, I was looking at his IMDb today.
He was in Beastmaster?
Yes.
He was the guy who was the false god, or the guy, the priest, that was doing all the sacrifices.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, I kind of liked him in Hercules, where he played Zeus.
Wow.
He was the voice of Zeus in Hercules for Disney. So yeah, yeah. And of course, Men in Black, when it was good, but we're not even going to talk about Men in Black International. We're just not. Because nobody else is. So anyway, Stranger Things 3. Which one of you fine gentlemen would like to start?
I'll start. Best one of the series.
Yes, I agree.
Top notch. I loved the way that they put it all together. So you're still convinced that Steve Harrington can't be...
Yes, yes. Did you see him in the shorts? No. Do you know how much...
And I love how they kept pointing to the fact that he can't fight. He's gotten his butt kicked every season.
That was his running game.
Spoilers, by the way.
Oh, God. Huge spoilers, but I'm assuming before we even start the episode, Aaron's going to put a giant banner or something that says spoilers.
Because
we're going to talk about Stranger Things 3, and we're going to talk about Far From Home, not Endgame. And we're going to have a ton of spoilers. So, spoilers. If you haven't watched it, catch us next week after you go see the movies and watch the TV show. Go.
All right. So, first, favorite scene.
Wow. That's rough. I enjoyed, seriously, I like the whole thing. I can't dial it down to a scene that I like more than any.
I don't know if I had...
That's weird for me, because normally I'll have one that's just like a...
Really sticks out to you?
Yeah.
The never-ending story scene was really funny to me. That one was really...
I like that whole arc about, is his girlfriend real or not?
Is his girlfriend real or not? Yeah.
Sounds kind of made up.
Yeah.
If she's real.
And then when he calls her at the end, you know, the world is ending, and we're in mortal danger.
Sing the song.
I need you to sing me our song before I help you. I was like, wow, that's... Yeah,
Was a lot of good scenes. I will give you that.
There were a ton of good scenes.
My favorite was the never ending story, but my second favorite was when they were in the okay, so they're trying to save Steve and his not girlfriend.
Robin. Yeah, the girl that he develops a crush on. But...
Yeah. And they're trying to turn off the fan, and he's like
convincing that Erica that she's a nerd. Yes, yes. Yeah. Like,
did you do all that math in your head?
Yeah.
It was a simple equation.
Like, that was not a simple equation. She was rattling off those numbers, and I'm like, I had to, like, okay, hold on, let me get a calculator. And she.
That's queen nerd right there, though, she's, like, picking on all the peasants, like, oh, you're so far beneath me that I don't care.
You're the peasant nerds.
So yeah, I like capitalism.
So yeah, let's talk about Steve Harrington real quick. Is Batman Beyond, because you brought this up last show, and I tell you what, there aren't enough steroids in every bodybuilding competition in Russia and America.
Oh, come on.
To get that boy buffed up.
They made Tobey Maguire buff, and he was a scrawny little guy.
Did you see that dude?
Yeah.
He's a Pez dispenser. I mean, great actor. Great. Steve Harrington's awesome. Steve the Hare Harrington. We love you.
Loved it when they were in LSD too, by the way.
Come on. Are you serious? I mean, no. No. Boy's not bigger than my football.
I like watching him, though. I think I could see him through as that character, though.
We're talking about that, but it would take a lot. It would take a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, the hair. I mean, you can't. I mean, come on.
You see, but you can't get past that. Like, he can.
He's not going to have 80s hair. He's not going to have 80s hair and everything.
Exactly.
Yeah, but he kind of has to now. I mean, he's, you know, he's got his thing going. It's.
You're telling me he's pigeonholed as Steve Harrington?
He's
from
pigeonholed. No, just as the hair.
Oh, I see.
Just as the hair. Just like Billy. I don't know who the actor is. I wish I knew the actor's name, but he turned out to be a great kind of villain for this season.
You know, he got body snatched. Having him be a really, really good guy from Power Rangers, just like that. He was the kid from
Power Rangers. He was the Red Ranger.
Oh, wait, really?
Yeah.
Wait.
Take
really?
The crappy mustache off and the long hair.
Oh my gosh, I have to look that up now. That was the Red Ranger from the recent Power
Rangers. Yeah, weird.
Are you serious?
That's him.
Oh, that's crazy. Okay, yeah. Wow, he plays a jerk really well. That's a good actor.
He went from
good
a very likable character to a jerk.
Yeah. See, and that made his, like, I didn't feel hurt about his death. Because he was a dick in season 2 and season 3.
When I thought he got smoked like that quick in the first episode, I'm like, oh, wow. But they did not kill him that quick.
Yeah, it's like, the whole body snatcher thing. And him being the one that got body snatched was like, yeah, he's going to be the bad guy. Kind of like, he's going to be the one. He's going to be where we save money on effects and have him menace the kids. As opposed to doing a Demogorgon and all that other stuff that costs a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And that made sense. I liked it because he's already a jerk anyway and a creepy dude, and then have him be more so that character because now he is just the embodiment of all things evil. That's perfect. So I really dug that.
His characterization as after his body snatched, you know, I like that they gave him depth too of like, hey, there's really a good kid that was in there that was just screwed up. But him being bad, I would almost compare that to Tenet from Jessica Jones.
Yes.
You know, just
such
a good portrayal of a bad guy. And I really enjoyed it for that. So.
Didn't you feel like a Martha kind of moment? Like, I felt this feels very much like Justice League Martha when she was, like, trying to convince him, talking about, I saw your mom on the beach. And she was beautiful. And
no,
like,
no.
It wasn't my favorite scene, but...
I get it.
It wasn't as
cringeworthy
as Martha.
Exactly.
Me, but, I mean, yeah, it did feel a little bit, I mean...
It felt forced to me.
I could see that. I could go either way on it, but...
It didn't necessarily feel as forced to me because she was trying to appeal to what she thought was his humanity that was still there, which it did end up working, right?
Right.
Because he defended her against the giant... You know, mind flayer monster. But my thing was that it didn't really seem like a Martha moment where it was just kind of like, save Martha! Huh? Martha? Who? Why do you know Martha? My mom's name is Martha.
Why'd you say that name?
Yeah, it wasn't. It's nowhere near that bad. Nowhere near that bad. So it didn't necessarily bother me. I understood what they were trying to say visually with L going back to that time period where he was happy. Mm-hmm. And that was like his last happy memory. And then where the mind flayer kind of had rested himself or took root in the beginnings of his unhappy memories with just his dad. And I get that. I get that. I see where they were trying to go there visually. And so she was taking him back to his last happy moment, genuinely happy moment as a small child. And that's kind of what broke the mind flayer's hold on him long enough for them to escape, her to recover, all that, you know, for the kids to escape and all of that. So I like that.
Yeah, what he said.
I also like that they...
I agree with that, though.
I also like that every season they expand the crew.
They do,
expand the group, because I was kind of like, shaky about Max when she first showed up last season, but now she's like one of my favorite characters. She continues to be one of my favorite characters this season. And then they add more. I love Robin. Love Robin.
Robin was a good addition.
Robin was one of the
Robin
best
Robin was
additions.
A great addition. And, you know what, not to be political.
Commence
but,
Operation Child Endangerment.
But a great way to add a character who is not defined by their gender, race, or sexuality. And just make it a good character.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't care when she revealed there's spoilers. When she revealed to Steve, you know, pours his heart out there on the LSD or the drugs or whatever, you know, the truth serum. And Steve reveals, you know what? You're the girl. You get me, I get you. I dig it. I dig you. You're the one. And she's like, oh, well.
You weren't listening.
You weren't listening. I was obsessed with you, not because I was in love with you, but because the girl I liked was in love with you.
Yeah.
And she, you know, she never looked at me. She was always looking at you.
And they put it like it was never, she's a lesbian.
Yeah.
Like that wasn't character. Her
superpower. Right.
Yeah.
It was just like, oh, okay, that's who she is. And then they moved on. And it was just kind of like, okay.
That's how you should treat it.
And then Steve was like, all right, cool. Well,
if you were trying to teach equality, that is the way that you teach equality.
Yeah.
Like, Steve, oh, okay, you're a lesbian.
Steve was all like, right, okay, cool. We're best buds now. All right, fine. You know?
Yeah, and not
your family video. Awesome. Hey, he's going to bring a lot of chicks in here. You want him to work here.
How does that benefit you, Robin? Don't worry about it. Just, it's going to benefit you. So, yeah, great season.
All right, his choice in movies is a little pedestrian.
But I will say the final scene actually made me drop 3.5 whole tears. That's a lot for me. I didn't know I could still do that.
I didn't know that you weren't dead inside. I am. So I thought you were there with me, but
with the big death being, you know, Hopper's seemingly death. Now, of course, we didn't see a body.
Right.
We didn't see him get disintegrated like we saw the scientists. It's assumed.
Yeah. They did that on purpose, though.
They did. Because get idiots like us talking about it.
And it works.
And to see that, but then that letter, and you think, like, that's the last time she's going to actually, quote-unquote, hear from her dad, her adopted dad. His handwriting, it's in his handwriting, it's his heart to her. And it was just like, oh, what is this I'm feeling? I didn't know what it was. I thought it was allergies, and I realized it was emotion. And, like, my wife even saw it. Like, I have proof. Like, I actually did cry. My wife's like, wow, you do that? I'm like, I guess apparently I do.
What is this feeling?
Yeah, like, there's a leak in the roof. There's water on my face.
Honey, I think I'm getting sick.
Yes, I think I'm getting sick. It must be Ebola. It's the liquid death. Because there is water coming out of my eyes. I didn't understand what was going on. So, yeah. Great season. If you haven't watched it by now, we've spoiled it. You watched it. Too late, sucker. Told you. Spoilers.
Real quick, though. Not necessarily a favorite scene, but there were elements that I loved in the 80s. And every season that they do it, they pick a new theme. That, mm-hmm. Hey, we're focusing on this. The first episode of the first season, looking at it, it's like, wow, they set this up. It's got the same feels like E.T., the beginning, mm-hmm. of that movie. Yes. I love that it immediately gives you, hey, you're in the 80s. If you grew up in the 80s, you know what your environment is for this. And for this one that they had it such a big thing where the Russians were the bad guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, that was such a huge thing in America that, you know,
yeah.
Kids were like, oh, they're the evil Red Empire, you know, that they built on that. Because I don't think about that kind of thing as an adult anymore. Mm. They're like, wow, I remember because being 9-year-old Soviet me Union being like, dead, yeah. Oh, yeah, are the Russians ever going to invade? And then, you know, definitely it's Red Dawn. It was totally Red Dawn.
Red Dawn.
But I'm good with them doing that because it's an easy way for them to jump in and already have all that built-in emotion.
Have a built-in nostalgia to it, yeah.
Yes. And that's the thing that I love about how they write those seasons, because they don't waste time on anything. They're just like, hey, we're doing this. Visually, we're doing this because it's going to get you to the place that we need. We don't have to worry developing that because you lived it.
Yeah.
And if you didn't live it, you'll catch on.
Right.
Yeah.
And I thought that it was...
And the whole mall thing, right. Like when mall culture awesome. Started and all of that. And I was like, I remember the mall being like that. And that was like the place. And that was, it was everything that the 80s was as far as mall culture, the Red Menace, you know, with, like you said, Red Dawn. It was all of that. And I dug it so deep. I dug it. So congratulations to Netflix and the Duffy Brothers. You did it again. I do think season 4 is going to be the last season, though. I just don't
see... And I'm okay
see,
with something like know. That ending, because you can't... If because you can't they keep... Too far.
And they're getting older.
Yeah.
And you can see where there's the change now in the relationships and the dynamic. I mean, you have a whole family and part of the cast leave Hawkins at the end of the season. And, you know, people grow apart. People move. And that's a part of that growing up.
I think you have a hard
time. I'd be surprised if they do five. I think four will be the last one, but I hope so.
I can agree that too, though. Go ahead. Because, like, as I've said before, Stranger Things is X-Files meets the Goonies. So once they get past, like, 16, 17, it's not the Goonies anymore.
They're aging out. This is kind of where they are now. So,
which is one of my gripes about pretty much every show that's on Disney, Nickelodeon, all those. I hate my kids watching those. And I watched them, you know, when I was a kid, you know, where it was always stories about kids saving the world. Mom and dad are dumb. The adults don't have a clue. And it's up to the kids to save the world. That kind of crap's been built towards kids. I hate my kids watching that kind of stuff. But that's what I grew up on. And, you know, and it does make you think, hey, I'm smarter than my parents. That's why at adolescence, you know, I think there's part of that rebellion that helps feed that. Where you're like, Mom and dad don't have a clue what's going on. They couldn't do this without me.
That's true.
And so
there's
that part of me that I saw. I'm like, okay, I don't like my kids watching this stuff, but I love it because 10-year-old me
was
like totally into this, and this is my decade. This was a show that was me. It just showed up 40 years too late, or 30 years too late. But I loved it anyway. I mean, I thought that it was great. So.
Another scene that I really loved was "Come in, Bald Eagle."
Yes,
I hate children.
That was so good. And then the big Russian assassin guy who was pretty much Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That's what I felt the whole time, too.
He was a Terminator, and it was so funny.
Yeah.
I expected him when they were, the big fight scene between him and Hop in the machine room, when he hit his head on the machine, I swear I expected to see part of a T-1000 skull or something, or T-800 skull in there, like a glowing red eye.
I yelled when they were in the haunted house area, and he shot him like 5 times in the chest. I was like, why didn't you shoot him in the head? Yes. He obviously is going to have a bulletproof vest on.
And he gets up, he's like, and I'm like, oh, it's a Terminator. That's the first thing I thought.
Not like Smirnoff, too. Smirnoff was
a good character.
He was a great character. A lot of good characters. It was a great season once again. So kudos to Netflix and the Duffy Brothers. Last word on that, are we good there?
I'm good.
No, nope. I said at the beginning, best season they've made.
It is. Yeah. You are correct. I think that is the best season. And I thought last season was the best season, so I don't know how they're going to top it on the fourth season. But hey, I can't wait to see them try. Next thing we want to talk about is Spider-Man Far From Home just came out recently. And it's amazing. It's amazing.
Spider-Man.
This is one of the few times where the Rotten Tomatoes critic and audience score matches up. It's a great movie, and it builds on Homecoming and the end of Endgame so well, but yet also kind of gives you a taste with that final credit scene, the taste of what the Marvel Universe is going to be going forward. Yeah. So, Rich, I'll start with you. What did you think about Far From Home?
I loved it. That was the final film in Phase 3. That's what they said was the capstone. And I felt that Endgame wrapped it up so well. I didn't know that it was necessary to have that put more of a cap on it.
It was an epilogue.
But I loved what they did. I thought that it was a great way to kind of give... Peter was so... I mean, Tony was kind of like a dad to Peter. And so I liked what they did with that. The character development through it was so good. I liked the whole thing with Happy and Aunt May. I thought that was a fun little
summer fling
story going on there. I liked it. It was great. I know a lot of people were confused by Mysterio, you know, being a good guy, and I'm like,
it's nothing.
Okay, in the comics, he started as
a good guy.
He's never going to be
a good guy. In the Mysterio in the comics, he tricked everybody that he was a hero. So it was a mirror of...
Watching the movie, the whole thing, every time Mysterio was on screen, I thought, I'm Syndrome and I'm your nemesis.
Exactly.
It was just like, I've seen The Incredibles. I know what you're doing. You're not fooling me.
You bring a lot of things back to The Incredibles. You really dig that movie. The Incredibles
is the greatest comic book movie of all time, period, hands down. The Incredibles. greatest comic book movie ever. Just all they need to do is put him in blue suits and film that for the Fantastic Four. Done.
Yeah.
Okay.
Done.
So the bar scene where they did the reveal with Mysterio and they started having like everything kind of just started dissolving and like people were still there like, okay, hey, what's... I was not prepared for that scene.
Yeah.
I knew there was going to be something where it's like, okay, we're going to see something turn. I knew he wasn't from an alternate Earth. I never bought that even from the trailer. But I was not prepared for what they did. And that I really slick. Dug that it caught me that off guard. I'm like, this is so well done. Keep entertaining me this way.
Mm-hmm. And I liked how they were all from Iron Man movies.
Yes. Yeah.
Right? You know, so
I didn't even remember the bald dude till they did the throwback.
Is, right? Yeah. It's Ralphie from Christmas Story.
Shut up. That is not Ralphie.
The one that Tony Stark built it in the cave. The scientist that was getting yelled at, that's Ralphie from... I knew that from when that movie came out. And you can see it when he's in this movie. It's the same actor that was in the other movie. Same actor that was in Christmas Story.
No. That's not Peter Billingsley.
Yes, it is.
No.
100%.
He'll shave his half of his beard.
No, I won't.
I mean, that's I'm pretty sure that it's him.
New Mutants. You're not getting that twice. No. That's a one-time thing. I'm positive New Mutants isn't coming to theaters. I'm telling you that. No. Stop it.
We'll put up the link to the IMDb for Peter Billingsley so that everybody...
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. That's a total shock to me.
Yeah, we're going to look.
When you see his eyes, you'll be like, holy crap, yeah, that's him. You got old. You got old, Peter.
But I do like the fact that they touched on that and they showed that scene. And here we have Peter dealing with his feelings and still mourning Tony Stark. The world is mourning Iron Man. Like when they were in school, all the pictures behind him were of Iron Man and Tony Stark. Every single one.
All the murals,
but all the pictures of the kids that colored, which is kind of weird that kids are still coloring pictures in high school, but whatever.
We'll forget about that.
Yeah, whatever. But, you know, so that was him still dealing with that and processing that. Mm-hmm. And then here's these other people that were kind of, you know, spit on by Tony, whatever, or for some reason had it in for Tony and, you know, basically had to wait until he died in order to, you know, to kind of exact their revenge. He's trying to show me IMDb right now. See, he's listed as a producer on Iron Man. That's not him.
It's him.
It's not him. Then where is Far From Home? He hates to be wrong, and he's wrong.
Keep talking.
Okay. Anyway.
It'll give me time to... We're like,
even if he doesn't find it, he'll like Photoshop it on his phone or something. Like, dude, it's him. It's not him.
I've
heard from a bunch of people that it was, so...
What I really liked about Mysterio in Far From Home is something that the Marvel movies has always kind of gotten wrong, in my opinion, is fleshing out villains to make them feel like villains. Like, instead of just the bad guy that we have to fight because this is a superhero movie, they fleshed him out where, one, they made him kind of likable till he became total...
You kind of understood where he was coming from.
Yeah. Like
when Tony Stark takes his life work
and calls it barf.
It's just like, oh, dang.
And he was likable as kind of a mentor to Peter Parker. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they did a really good job of fleshing him out. And like, that's something they didn't do with a lot of villains in Marvel movies, except for Thanos, in my opinion. So that was probably one of the best things that I liked about it. But also... I don't think anybody really bought, unless they didn't know the comics, that Mysterio was a good guy.
No, I think the reveal surprised my wife because she doesn't know the Spider-Man comics as well as like I do, because I'm the one that's sitting here talking to you now, or standing here talking to you now, and she's going to watch later. Right, so that for your layman, you know, your normie that's going to watch the movie, yeah, that might be a big reveal. But anybody that's read Spider-Man, watched the cartoons, everybody knows Mysterio is a bad guy.
Right.
What I like about the Marvel movies specifically, but the Marvel Spider-Man movies definitely, is, I would say Marvel movies in general, Spider-Man in particular, is the way they treat the minor Spider-Man villains. They do them up big. Like, the fact that the Vulture was Homecoming's big bad guy, and was amazing. Amazing.
I never thought they'd pull off the Vulture.
Never pull off the Vulture. Never. And then when I knew, when they said Jake Gyllenhaal, he's going to be Mysterio, I'm like, oh boy. Let's see how this goes.
I actually like that casting. I thought they pulled it off.
They really pulled it off. And the way they pulled it off, because it's drones and the holographic technology. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, perfect.
The way they pulled off
Mysterio. So it's just kind of like, you can look at some of these obscure Spider-Man villains. You know, how they even did Hydro Man. Like, it was an illusion, but they still did it.
Yeah.
You know, they could do Sandman. They could do whatever they want to do with Spider-Man's, you know, quote-unquote Sinister Six or his rogues gallery and have it be really good.
Yep.
But...
He's only got one movie left
on that contract. That's what I was just getting ready to say. He's only got one movie left on that contract. The third solo film. He's done... It was three group movies and three solo films. He's done the three group movies. That was Civil War, Endgame, or Civil War, Infinity War, and then Endgame. And he's done the two solo movies.
Right.
He's got one movie left.
And they punched, they did the best way of upping the stakes at the end of.
What a cliffhanger ending right there. Holy smokes.
Yeah, and there's I love no that they way. Brought back the original J. Jonah.
That was awesome. That was awesome. Yeah.
I know people that actually screamed in the theater when
that happened. That was, oh, God rest his soul, but that was almost as good as a Stan Lee cameo.
Yeah.
That's probably just as good as a Stan Lee. If you can't get Stan Lee for a Spider-Man movie for a cameo, getting J. Jonah Jameson, come on. That was the best. That was the best. To see him there, just kind of tied it all together, and it was like, oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. So I'm really, really happy with this movie.
My hypothesis is Kraven. Kraven's going to be the big baddie for
Kraven's Wild Hunt.
For hunting Peter Parker, now that he's been outed as Spider-Man.
Yeah, you could throw some Silver Sable in there. You could throw some Black
Cat
in there.
You could.
Yeah, that could be pretty good. It'll be really interesting to see how he gets out of it. Right, because
they did it in the comics a couple times.
But you needed Doctor Strange, and it was a magical spell that made the entire world forget.
Right,
that
and Iron Man was also a part of that one too.
Yeah, so I don't know how exactly you're gonna do. Oh, speaking of Iron Man, though, real quick, favorite scene from the movie was Peter making the new suit.
Yeah,
when he was in the jet with Happy, Happy's like, "You want to make a suit? Oh, we can make a suit."
Play the music.
And it was, he even had RDJ's mannerisms. Like he was flipping the Spider-Man symbol and doing all that. And when he was making the suit, that was perfect. That was a very, very perfect moment. Go out and see the movie. Anything else?
Interesting thing that my son had me, wanted me to tell everyone. It's an interesting quip. Then maybe you might win Jeopardy with it or something. So they made Tom Holland wear a thong when he was in the Spider-Man suit, so that you didn't see lines or anything in the Spider-Man suit. For all of them, every time he was in the suit, he was in a thong.
And that's our time.
Did not need to know that.
On that note.
You did need to know that.
I didn't need to know about Tom Holland and thong. Good night.
Are you letting your kid watch?
F you, everybody. What kind of parent are you? Like, what are you doing? Like, who?
It was an interview. It was like a late night show interview.
Why isn't he in bed?
Welcome to the Fandom United After Show. After party. After show party. Yeah, that thing.
Yeah, he did.
I don't know if he's wearing really a wig there, if they shaved his head for the character. Because he was bald in both movies.
That's an issue. Wow, bruh. I hope they shaved his head, because that's... Yikes. Yeah, but that's like going from your hair this year hair next year.
Well, I mean, Iron Man came out 10 years ago, and so I'm thinking if that's got to be a wig if they didn't shave him. I mean,
it's a pretty good one. I'm looking forward to the next Spider-Man. We didn't even talk about the final credit scene.
We can, after you said final thoughts, we can pick back up from there if you want.
Well, no, just thinking about. We can do that next week, because we could do an elevator. I can do an elevator pitch next week, and I can talk about the final scene with, you know, Nick Fury in space, and now he's kind of like the guardian of, you know, he's using the Skrulls as an army.
That was Sword.
Yeah, that was Sword. He's upgraded from S.H.I.E.L.D., because, you know, And you know what? That's a great way to explain why he's not on Earth and dealing with the TV show and why Mac is the director of S.H.I.E.L.D. and blah, 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 mm-hmm. and Maria Hill isn't there. Because they're in space with S.W.O.R.D. dealing with all of that. That's... So now you have the S.W.O.R.D. and the S.H.I.E.L.D.
So, okay, here's a question I've been asking people in the shop. When was the last time that we saw real Nick Fury?
Good question. Good question.
The best exit for that I've come up with so far would have been after his funeral scene.
Yes.
I think. And then after that, it wasn't him.
It was the Skrull. It was Telos. Yes.
I think
it's very, very possible.
After he came back after the snap.
And it's a retrofit, you know, if they even explore it. No matter how
No. What he's saying is, he's talking about Winter Soldier, wasn't it?
Yes.
Where they had Nick Fury's funeral, and they were standing at Nick Fury's grave at the end of Winter Soldier.
Oh. And he invited Cap to go with him.
And he was like, you know, I got some stuff to deal with here. He's thinking that was when Nick left Earth to go with S.W.O.R.D. Because the Skrulls and all that were already in play by then. Right, because
right.
Captain Marvel years. Already happened by 10 years, so he could have had this already set up.
So, do you think when the snap happened and
that was a Skrull, that was Telos
disappearing? Not that was Telos. Nick. Interesting.
That was Telos who called Captain Marvel. Oh, and another interesting thing: when Peter said, "Call Captain Marvel," don't invoke her name.
I love that.
Yeah. That was really funny.
That's a really interesting thing to hear before the buzzer.
Yeah, I think you are on to something. I think that was Telos who called Captain Marvel because he was calling Nick. He was calling everybody back like, ah, crap. Boop. You know, I can't handle it. Something's wrong. Da 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 da. I think
right. You're right. I'd
be very surprised if that wasn't when Nick bounced. I'd be very surprised. I like that.
Huh.
And still fits really well. Into my elevator pitch.
Man, after seeing that, though, like, Spider-Man should almost be the new face of Marvel instead of Captain Marvel.
There's a report. There's a report.
Absolutely. It needed to be
it's
anybody.
Spider-Man, arguably the most, next to Superman, probably the most popular superhero in the world.
There was three. That were the top characters always. It was always Superman
Batman,
Spider-Man,
and Batman.
Yeah.
Those three. Superman, Spider-Man, and Batman.
Why, when they announced Iron Man, everybody's like, what?
What?
You're making a movie that doesn't have Batman?
Because they didn't have the rights. But speaking of the rights, there is a rumor that if Far From Home doesn't make $1 billion, Sony takes creative control and all rights back.
Say what now?
Yeah.
What?
Yes. So,
say that one more time.
Marvel has creative control over the Spider-Man movies.
Right.
Right? Sony gets paid. Marvel gets the merchandising. Sony gets the box office. There's rumor that there is a clause in this contract, this deal that they had to loan Spider-Man to Marvel. If Far From Home doesn't make $1 billion at the box office, we get it all back. Spider-Man... All the characters you guys want will take creative control of Spider-Man back. And you can't have him for that third film then. Now, the movie's already made like $500 million this weekend.
Right.
Or opening weekend, right? So they think that it's a very good chance that the movie can do the billion. They think that's not going to be an
issue. If they don't make the million, why can't they just buy Spider-Man then?
Marvel was going bankrupt. The people that were in trouble sold the rights to Spider-Man to Sony Pictures.
In order to keep the lights
forever. in perpetuity. As long as they make a movie every few years, Sony can keep the rights. So they can't, and they don't have to sell them back if they don't want to. Disney would have to buy Sony in order to get Spider-Man back.
Which isn't out of the question.
Yeah, it could happen to Fox.
Yeah.
It can happen to you. Because it was rumored that they were selling, Sony was looking to sell Sony Pictures several years ago. So, this is pretty, and it's funny because they said Sony's top 10 grossing movies with the exception of one James Bond movie, are all Spider-Man or Spider-Man-related films.
Really?
Yes. Spider-Man movies and Venom, and these include the new Marvel movies, are Sony's highest grossing movies of all time. They're top 10 movies. The only one that is not Spider-Man related is a James Bond movie before James Bond franchise left Sony to go elsewhere. Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So this is a big deal for Sony, right? If it's not, if it wasn't for Spider-Man, Sony Pictures probably would have been sold off. This letting Marvel make the movies doing that deal is probably keeping Sony Pictures alive.
Yeah, but man, like, Sony has to realize, like, they fumbled that ball so many times. They need to, like, they just need to let Marvel QB it, and they'll just ride the
coattails. No, because they did Venom, and Venom did good numbers for them, and they're thinking, oh, we can do this.
It was a bad movie.
Doesn't matter. People went to go see it, and it made Sony money.
Right.
And it's still one of their top 10 grossing movies. And, God, that just doesn't look like him. And so it doesn't matter. It does not matter to these executives. Look at Warner Brothers. These executives, they don't care. They do not care. They think they know what's best for the franchise, a la Justice League, and it's going to turn into garbage.
Didn't it bomb in the U.S. and China was the only thing that, like, China was what
No, actually, Venom did decent in the U.S. too. Venom did decent numbers in the U.S. I was much, much surprised. I would even say much to my chagrin, because I wanted that movie to do poorly.
So did I.
Because I hate the premise of Venom without Spider-Man. Hate it. So,
I liked it. But I liked it for what it was. To me, it felt like it fit in with that Sam Raimi universe. I could pretend that Spider-Man 3 never happened, and that had that Tobey Maguire Spider-Man campy kind of feel to it. It didn't feel like it fit
MCU Spider-Man.
MCU, but it was still a Sony movie. So I'm like, okay, you know what? I can put it in that family of movies. And just the Topher Grace, they never happened.
That was the worst.
That was so bad.
Yeah, that was the worst. I don't understand what. Anyway.
I mean,
talk about a movie to kill a career, because I haven't seen Topher Grace in anything since then.
This episode was cursed.
I know. No, I saw him in.
You didn't.
Was it Blow?
You just thought you did. See? Or come on. How many people saw. Come on, stop it. Quit playing. Just stop it. Just stop.
Oh, speaking of.
No. I saw him in Love and Robots.
Oh, that was him.
Yeah, when the fridge.
Yeah.
The fridge episode.
One episode of a Netflix show. And Netflix animation show. The best animation show ever.
He's still working, though.
Yeah, yeah. He'll still eat off that 70s show money.
He hasn't gone the softcore movie route.
No, but, I mean, good Lord, man. That honestly, I honestly do think that was the role that killed his movie career. Like, it'll be a while before he can kind of turn it around.
Right.
And come back and have a decent film. He'll be older before he can kind of come back and have a decent big tentpole film.
Right.
And I think that was the movie that did him in.
What about Toby? Did Toby disappear after that too?
But Toby was making movies before that. Toby is probably just sitting somewhere.
He was doing art house films.
And he probably still is. Toby's somewhere counting his money.
God. I mean, now that I see the face like that, yes, I can see that it's him. Like, I can picture...
I can't wait to go home and tell that to my wife.
What? So they shaved his head. Like, they uglied him up and aged him for that. But
I think time aged him, but...
No, like,
yeah, that's time's fault. That time did that.
That's not no camera trick right there. That was,
yeah. He doesn't look that old.
That was him in Iron Man.
See, they shaved his head. They shaved his head.
Well, yeah, look at that clean line.
Yeah,
yeah, that's a shave. I mean, that line is super clean. It's too clean to be natural.
I'm not telling you.
Now, you know, that was a indie movie. Christmas Story?
Yeah.
That was like a low budget indie movie. But
after this, you want to get some white cheddar Cheetos for me quicker?
Sure.
It became like, you know, one of my go-to Christmas movies.
Oh, definitely. That and National Lampoon's
Christmas Vacation.
Top two Christmas
movies. Oh yeah. Christmas Story. And it's funny, they tried to make a sequel, but it's just
it was bad.
And yeah, they, matter of fact, that house just sold. The Christmas Story house
I
just
saw
sold.
That in the news.
Actually,
they were doing tours and stuff for it every year. I mean, it's like a big money, you know, thing. Like, why would you sell that if, I mean, are you tired of that money coming in?
Or maybe just sick of people. Like the Goonies house.
No, you don't live in that house.
No.
You hire people.
You'll have to watch the Goonies.
The big house whatever from the Goonies went on the beach, I guess. You used to be able to go up to it, take pictures. Sometimes they would give people tours to the house, people that lived there, and they sold the house.
Was it as
the
bad?
New owners built a huge fence around the property. Cool. They were like, no trespassing, don't knock. No, you can't see it. You can't take pictures.
You shouldn't have bought the house.
This
thing.
Is our
you should,
home.
You're expect that's
they
expected.
Wanted the house and the location. They didn't care about Goonies. They didn't care about
that's
the
your
movie.
Fault. You should have bought one further down the beach.
Yeah.
That's the location they wanted. That's the house, the look of the house they wanted. I get that. But
it,
people just have to
see it.
People, fans especially, have a hard time separating fiction from reality and saying and realizing that's somebody's house.
Right.
You just don't go up to somebody's house like, hey, oh, I remember this movie. Can I come into your house and use your bathroom? No, I don't know you.
Was
don't
it,
come to my door.
Breaking Bad or Sopranos, the one with the where people would throw the pizza.
Breaking
on
Bad.
The
Breaking Bad. Bad, yeah. They had to put out some like stop throwing pizza on our house. Yes. Yes.
That was as bad as when people figured out the house for Bird Box. And that was as bad as that.
Yeah, well, I don't think anybody cares about the house from Bird Box
anymore.
Because it wasn't iconic like that.
Yeah.
Breaking Bad, like that house, that was their set. That was where a lot of that show took place. So it wasn't, but yeah, that was, I remember seeing that. Stop putting pizza on our house.
Like, what do you think they did on the days that they shot? Like, you just, I mean.
Oh, they probably put traffic cones.
Oh, you mean the people that live there?
The people that live there, yeah.
They might have just.
I know people that have had their houses where,
like
a scout would come out and just come up and say, hey, we're shooting a movie. We really like your house. We'd like to use it for exterior shots, and can we see the inside to see if we want to use any interior shots? And if they like both, they just literally pay you money to use your house, and then they have like the set days that they're going to do it. They give them a schedule of when they're going to be there, weather permitting, and all that. And then
I bet that's some chatter right there.
So. Yeah, like, and it's like a VRBO thing.
And
there's
an open-ended thing of, hey, there may be pickup shots that we have to do. If we do, then it'll be this much money for additional days of shooting. So it's all like a contract. There was a friend of mine, lives in Ballin. They shot a movie, I guess that soccer movie that they shot here 10 years ago.
Greatest story ever told, I think it was.
Yeah. They ended up using the house out that way.
You said soccer movie and I just like,
it was about the soccer team, the U.S.
Bend It Like Beckham? I don't know. That's the only soccer movie
I
know.
Like, it took place in 1950s, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say it's either 50s or early 60s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The funniest thing is the majority of the team came from the Hill. That's why.
Nice.
So they were that was the majority of the U.S. team, and that's why they were good at soccer, because they were all Italian.
I had no idea. Genuinely,
they used our school's field.
That's why soccer is so big in St. Louis. I mean, it's big everywhere now, but I mean, it was always
big
in St. Louis before it became like a soccer mom thing and all that. I mean,
which is kind of dumb that St. Louis doesn't have a major league soccer team yet.
We used to. We used to have the Steamers were the team during the 80s. And then that died down, and then they came back with Ambush in the mid-90s.
MLS just, soccer?
Huh?
MLS? Major Leagues? The big?
Yeah.
Is that,
Ambush. Because
they're trying to get
the
an expansion
Steamers
team.
Were, the Steamers were...
That name sounds familiar, but I don't know. Are they still playing? Are they somewhere else?
The team disbanded.
No, they didn't. They're gone.
But the logo of it was a riverboat, like with the big wheel on the front. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It always feels that way.
I think sports like that
back,
would
when,
do well.
When you have a lot to talk
about.
Yeah,
the paddle wheel. Because
it goes by really quick.
I think it would help with, people were so upset about football leaving, but you forget that, okay, a lot of the bars down there and the people that work the stadium, those people were upset about it, right? Because those are big crowds. But that's only like 8 to 10 games a year. That's only 8 to 10 big weeks. Something like a soccer, nice. Something like a soccer with, you know, however many games, home games every year would be huge. Same thing with basketball. You'd have all those people employed. All those bars would be hopping those days. I just think it would be good for the economy of the city to have Major League Soccer and professional basketball down there. I think that would be great because of the number of home games. And then that means more jobs for people and all of that, more money, you know. That's why I want it for the city.
The Steamers are back.
I know that
they had
name.
Tryouts on June 11th down in Creve Coeur Park.
And they're not a steamboat.
Yeah, but that's not Major League Soccer.
It's kind of a lame.
It used to be.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's not now. Maybe they're trying to.
That's a lame. Really
because they're trying to get.
Look, it's like I'm picturing a mascot. Look, it's steaming. It's just a guy in a steamboat.
That's better than it's better than New Orleans in basketball.
Just when they were high school teams.
They're the New Orleans Pelicans, dude. Pelicans.
The ambush game.
That's way better than Pelicans.
Yeah.
After the fact, after the Steamers were disbanded, and I think that was Anheuser pushing let's get that Bush name out in front of. This is St. Louis.
The M. Bush. Oh. Yep. Oh, that's lame. It even looks like a Kraftig logo. Look at that.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
What's the logo?
Well, one of them looked like...
It's just like a really...
A. But anyway.
Stylized A. But picture Anheuser with the stylized A.
That makes sense. But, you know.
Huh.
Is it the same?
I would like to see soccer get here.
Yeah, I can't really, like, soccer's not my thing to watch.
Oh, not at all. Just my brother-in-law.
Just make a goal. Like, that's how I feel when I watch it.
My brother-in-law is a huge soccer fan. All right,
it's been 30 minutes. Somebody make a goal, please.
Yeah, he's a huge soccer fan. You wouldn't think it, right?
It is
he's
fun
just,
to play.
He's this redneck guy. He used to be, and I love him to death. He used to be a tank driver in the Army. He's from Seattle. You know, he's a good dude. He's a carpenter. That's his sport. He loves soccer.
Really?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like something like
right.
a country.
And he's good at it. He was good at playing it. He got his kids all into it, right? So they all watch soccer together. They put a game on. We were there, you know, last week. So they put a game on, and it was a game where the U.S. beat Thailand. I think it was Thailand. 13-0, and they set the record for most goals scored in a female in a women's soccer game. I went to sleep. I went straight to sleep. I mean, they were scoring. The U.S. women were scoring. But I was just kind of like, oh, I'll look at them run back and forth. I was out. And I'm not like a light sleep either. It was a deep sleep. Like,
so it's probably the movement back and forth that it's like watching the waves go by. And just like,
I don't know.
Just rocking you to
soccer,
sleep.
Soccer just bores me.
Yeah.
It does. I mean, not to say that it... You know, it's an exciting sport to everyone else around the world. And maybe if I understood it better, I would get something out of it. And maybe I could, you know, understand what was going on and why this person is here and this and that and the other. And it wouldn't bore me. But soccer just puts me right out. Soccer is just as bad as... Well, okay, I think NASCAR is worse. Because the drone of the engines, and they're just going in one direction.
Yeah.
The only thing I'm going to wake up for is a wreck.
Yeah.
So I go right to sleep. You put NASCAR on, buddy, I'm night-night. Night-night. Gone.
The only sport that I can watch and watch live is basketball.
Like, I can watch basketball.
That can keep me entertained. Like, baseball, I can't not stand watching it in person. I will watch it on TV. Football, I will watch on TV, but I, like, in person, it's like, all right, they did one play, and we're taking a break. 30 minutes later, all right, we're going to do another play, and we're taking a break. Oh, good
you know
God,
what?
Come on.
You know what helps watching games live is listening to the simulcast.
Okay.
Like having one ear in so you can actually hear what's going on.
Isn't the point
because
of like
other than that, it's just a bunch of dudes running around and like, where the heck did the ball go? Who
yeah.
has the ball right
football
now?
supposed to be like them getting more worn out, but instead of taking a 30-minute break every...
Technically, I mean, most of those guys have a lot of endurance. It's really more about them getting beat up by getting tackled constantly. But even then, like, the you see them like going and chugging water and stuff. Like, you've only did one play.
Stephen Colbert had the best
line for baseball that I've ever heard.
He's like, it's like watching grass grow, but less interesting.
Yes.
What about when the Blues beat up half the team in one of their things?
Yeah.
Was that interesting?
That is interesting. The best fighter, like the most interesting fights to ever watch was way before your time. It was Tony Twist, which he does... His company does window repairs now.
He replaced the window on my car and Kara's car all in 1 week.
Yeah.
Kara knows him, so we called him up like, hey, you know, what kind of price you looking at? And so he helped us out a little bit. And
it's like you went from breaking a lot of glass to repairing it. Oh, I didn't even get to that.
Yeah.
Did they go back on the plane or did they just snap back into midair?
And fall.
And the blip? The blip is a horrible name for it. It's...
We can talk about it some more next week because that is funny because when the band came back, that was funny.
That was funny.
That they came back.
But that was the first thought that did they pop up right in the exact same place when they were on the plane?
So all those people, the pilots or whoever disappeared, out of the plane,
Why were they doing the exact same song?
They did that in the DC on Young Justice.
5 years, 2 months, and 2 days later, they're doing the same song at the same time.
Was it Young Justice? Yeah. Right. When everybody who was under 18 went to that parallel universe, it separated. All the adults, and Shazam was the only one that could go back and forth.
Because he could transform. Yeah, I remember, yeah.
And when him and the girl were on the plane, and it was her 18, she turned 18 on the airplane, and so then she just starts falling, and so he Shazam so that he could, you know, catch her.
That's a great... So people who were, like, on the highway, in the middle of traffic.
Well, you saw helicopters crash.
You saw planes and helicopters crash. Yes. And, like, okay, they called it the blip. Like, that 5 years was a horrible, horrible time for the people who didn't get
the
snapped
blip is
away.
Kind of flippant.
Yeah. Yes. Like, people probably committed suicide, ended up in mental hospitals. It's like... The rapture. It's like the people who would have stuck around on the rapture.
This isn't a DC movie. It's a Marvel movie. It's not going to be that dark.
How it should have ended, please do this. Show those scenes of the people just like that flipped away that were on an airplane.
Or people who were on a cruise ship in the middle of the ocean.
Right.
Bloop, bloop.
Thanks for hanging out with us. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast, leave a rating, and review. Only if they're good, though. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel at Fandom United. Until we meet again, remember, tell them F you.